Hi, Don.
Hello, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
Air pirates?
Yeah, they're a nasty business, although kind of friendly.
Yeah, kind of cool. Yeah, actually, really. Yeah, it's not a lot to hate about the movie Porco Rosso. John, this is our first introduction to the works of Hayao Miyazaki, and I will only do this once because I want to ruin it for everybody else, but Hayao Miyazaki, there you go. Oh. You can never watch a Ghibli film again.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I could never do this podcast again either. That's it for me. Goodbye, everybody.
I'm sure I've done a bad Kermit on the show before.
Yeah, I think you have. Yeah, this movie is fantastic. I honestly have not seen that much Miyazaki stuff, just the couple, you know, the big hits.
So what have you seen?
I've seen Mononoke, Princess Mononoke. I've seen Spirited Away, and I've seen Kiki's Delivery Service, and I think that might be it.
Oh, Kiki's. That's an interesting. I mean, not that that's a lesser known. That's kind of C tier, even though that's one of my favorite ones. It's just it's a weird.
It was great. It was showing at the Hollywood Theater, and
okay.
Yeah. We needed something to do with my. I guess we'll call him father-in-law. And so we went to go see that movie and we all enjoyed it.
So you've not seen Totoro.
Oh, I have seen Totoro. I forgot about that. I just don't remember much about it.
He's a guy. His name is Totoro. It's great. Yeah, that's actually a fair amount. It's not like there's a ton of Miyazaki movies.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably missing, I don't know, five, which, you know, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the, I think this one, Lupin, and the most recent one that I don't know the name of that came out like last year, 2 years ago, are the only ones I haven't seen. And Lupin, I'm pretty sure I've actually seen. I just don't like, I think I saw it before I even knew who Miyazaki was or Studio Ghibli. Like I don't know, you know?
Right.
Also Ghibli.
I've always heard it said Ghibli.
But Ghibli. Okay.
Yeah, I think Ghibli sounds bad. But I think it's G-H, so that would be like ghost. So
you say it now naturally.
Ghibli. Yeah.
No, I think that was the neighbor on Full House.
No, that's Ghiblar.
Okay, yeah, that's my mistake.
I am Ghiblar.
You know, Ghibli, no, that's those like tiny little rodents that like live in cages and run around on a ball, yes. Right?
That's what it's named after.
Okay, good. No, it's named after a kind of wind, you dingus.
Oh, well, both of those have been up Richard Gere's butt, so.
No.
Yep.
How dare you. Porco Rosso, it's one of the few I haven't seen. I was a little thrown by it, just because, I don't know, just the idea of like a pig leak. I don't know why. It just like, it, the kind of concept art annoyed me of like a pig pilot. This is so fucking stupid. There's got to be like some kidsy bullshit where it's like, no, he's like a hard drinking womanizing pig. Like it's really good. I was very surprised.
It's good. And it's a little bit more, I guess I'd say adult than the other ones I've seen. Yeah. I think simply because the limited ones I've seen, the majority of the cast members are adults, which seems like most of the movies are like, you know, a lot of kids and stuff like that. But it still has that Miyazaki sort of charm and joyfulness with the same bittersweetness that's in a lot of his movies. But this also, I don't know, like because of its sort of placement in quote unquote reality, this like hyper version of post World War One. Adriatic Sea, and that not the bad guys, but the authorities at large are the Italian fascists, and how that's all kind of looming for me anyway, kind of colored a lot of this and made it seem even more bittersweet and kind of melancholy in certain ways, because it is like this amazing, it is this very like fun and joyful thing, even though it's about, you know, sky pirates and dogfights and stuff.
Yeah. So here's Alex's ignorance corner. Where's the Adriatic Sea?
Next to the rocky coastline. Adriatic. That was a terrible joke.
That's, if you edit this one, there's, you have to leave that in.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, because it is not going to be in.
Because that's up there with something I would say. And that's, yes, I know. That's the worst thing I could ever, like, I've insulted you on the show before and felt bad about it. But, like, I'm going to stand by this one when I say the worst thing I could tell you is that reminded me of something I would say.
The Adriatic Sea is on the rear of Italy's boot. So it's between, like, Italy and Croatia and Bosnia and those.
So
things.
Like the heel of the boot?
Yeah. It tucks up in there.
All right. Okay. So it's that way. Mm-hmm. Two, and it, furthering my ignorance, I don't think I know anything about World War One. And I think we've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah, we have in the Wonder Woman episode, because I don't really either.
That's right. But okay.
It was either Wonder Woman or what was the other World War One? The stupid wizard guy. No, it was the Pan's Labyrinth is the Spanish Civil War. It was the that's
close enough.
Newt Gingrich. What's his Scarmander? That one. Fantastic Beasts has a World War One thing to it.
Oh, Newt Scarmander. Okay, yeah. Those words didn't make any sense. Like, what kind of fucking gobbledygook are you talking about?
Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I forgot. I, like, wiped that movie. I forgot we did it on the show. I forgot I watched it. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about that. Yeah, so there's not that you need to have, like, an extensive knowledge of World War One.
Yeah.
To understand but it's this movie. But I did feel pretty stupid, like, watching going, I don't know. I know where Italy is.
I mean, like, because they were flying these kind of biplanes and just the style of the thing. But it wasn't really until I saw the Italian Air Force had the fascist logo on it. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's bad.
It is nice, though, for the time, both post-World War One and this movie came out in what, 82-ish? 92. LGBTQI+ representation.
How's that?
The biplanes.
Oh, good God.
Oh, that hurt. I literally, as I started to say this setup, I went, oh, don't do this. Don't do this to yourself. I'm the worst person that's ever lived.
Yeah. I need a soundboard with just a dial tone.
I'm going to cry. Literally going to cry.
I'm happy that you're happy.
Okay, so here's a question for you. That's watched extensively less Studio Ghibli than I, wherein I think I've seen two more than you, so obviously I'm the expert, but I can ask you the question. Why is the children in Studio Ghibli, why are they the most adorable thing that's ever existed?
Yeah, he captures that very, very well, which is always so funny to me when you hear about Miyazaki as a guy who's just this workaholic and he's really berates himself and nothing's ever good enough, but he makes these wonderful, joyous things. But yeah, the particularly at the beginning, it opens with these sky pirates kidnapping these preschoolers. And yeah, they're just the most adorable things ever.
They're
like living puppies.
They're so fucking cute. And I know, like, as middle-aged man, we're not supposed to talk about the cuteness of children, but these things like made my internal clock. What do you call that?
Biological clock.
My biological clock was like taking like, yeah. Oh, I want like 15 little cute, like, yeah. I love the reaction between them and the pirates, where the pirates are like, they're kidnapping them, but they're also taking like really sweet care of them. Like, no, that's dangerous over there, honey. You can't do that.
Yeah. Don't stand. You're going to break that.
Yeah.
But I think it's also like sets the stage nicely for like, yeah, there's going to be gun battles, but nothing's really at stake. You know what I mean? Not in this very service level thing, but it takes the edge off of like, well, there's no way they're going to shoot down this plane full of kids. And I love when they're like, a couple of them are hanging off of the machine gun thing in the spot in the pirate's plane. Yeah. And, like, they're shaking as it fires and they're having just the greatest time.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's super fun. I did laugh where Porco shows up and just shoots at a plane full of 15 preschoolers. And you're right. It does set up now we're in a reality where nothing's going to go wrong. We're not going to have a Bambi moment. We're fine. Like, everything's going to be safe. Everything's cool. But there is a certain amount of like, you just open fire on a fucking plane full of children.
Which is also interesting though, because I do think that this movie does deal with some heavier themes and some like more adult stuff. And like, definitely it's, is ambiguous about a few things, but, it's still able to pull that off very successfully. That kind of like, yeah, it's going to be fine. Like, no one's going to die.
Because there's a few references of like, where are all the men kind of thing where they're like, oh, they're off looking for jobs or whatever. But I think the undertone is, yeah, they all just died in the horrible war we just had.
And that and the fact that, the Porco Rosso sort of origin story of like when you see all the planes ascending into heaven or whatever, it's a magical moment, but it's also very heavy.
And so he rescues these kids. Oh, by the way, the little kids going, watch me, as they talk to their kidnappers as they're diving into the, I was like, oh, this is the cutest fucking shit in the universe. But
yeah, they're just like, oh, we're sinking. Like it's an event, like it's not terror. It's like, oh, this is a thing that's happening now. Uh-oh. You know, it's very funny.
We've established Porco Rosso as a hard drinking, it's chain smoking, depressed man.
Yeah.
That lives in a weird cove in a tent, even though there's a building next to the tent. So I don't really understand what that's about, but he hangs out at the, at a hotel. Do you know the name of it off the top of your head?
No, not off.
It just the hotel. It doesn't matter.
The Hotel Adriano.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And there's like a French lady there who sings at the bar and is Gina. Sexy as fuck. And, what's that?
Gina.
Yeah. And it is so weird that we're watching this Japanese, you know, animation thing about the Mediterranean in a French singing bar with an alcoholic pig man.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're like kind of whisked away into this magical world, but like, there's this moments of pause of like, this is fucking Howard the Duck level fucking bonkers.
It's kind of like the, we're used to seeing, here's some crappy American version of Japan made by idiots. It's weird to see the other way, you know, a more sort of like Euro style stuff.
And also like real quick after the introduction of Gina, they've established that she's lost three husbands at this point.
Yes.
To various war. Yeah, this is some rough shit right here.
Yeah. They'll just and I kinda like that about Miyazaki stuff. How they'll drop in stuff like that that's very realistic. But sad, but not like the focal point. Like this is, I'll probably end up bringing this up later too, but like there's a bit at the end of Kiki's Delivery Service where one of the plot points of it is that like as she can't hear her cat talk to her anymore. And by the end of the movie, all the other problems have been resolved and it's all, oh, hooray. Like this is fine now. And she still can't hear her cat.
Yeah.
And it's a very like nothing. It's just a tiny moment at the end, but there's still this bittersweet like, yeah, but you have to grow up and change. And that's part of it. And I like stuff like that. And this movie has that in spades of these like quiet personal journeys these people are making. They're not just, you know, a monkey that farts or something.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not a big advocate for fart jokes. Not my thing, as we've established on the show. But, you know, a monkey that farts, pretty classic. I mean, even I can't argue with that.
No, but I just, you know, I want to know what made that monkey fart.
Yeah,
how did we get to this moment?
I used to be a man, and then I was cursed after my wife died, and I also have IBS, so now I'm the farting monkey. Yeah. I mean, I guess we can talk about it now. This is the first time it's referenced that he's cursed to be a pig.
Yeah.
This isn't a magical reality where he's born a pig and no, just but I mean, pig people.
It's magical in a different way, because people have acknowledged that he is indeed a pig, and everyone, he is called the Crimson Pig. And everyone seems to be okay with this.
Yeah. Well, he's called the Crimson Pig because he loves going. Nope.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Nope. oh, I have the fucking. I'm both proud and hate myself right now. Besides, you know, visiting Walt Anflos in town. What do you think he got cursed for? Like, what's the deal here?
Well, I think it's. You know, there is sort of a running thing of him being kind of a piggish guy when it comes to like ladies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's sort of this almost a self-imposed curse, because I think he's really down on himself for, as you discover, for not being able to save his buddies, including Gina's husband, and like is kind of done with mankind. So it almost seems like that's part of it as well. So I'm not entirely sure, because it's just like, yeah, I flew through a cloud and now I'm a pig. And there's a couple of moments where he sheds that piggishness. And some of that sort of like, as soon as you start caring for others kind of thing. But I like that it doesn't 100% pay that off.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, essentially the story is this war hero that is so heroic didn't die. So, of course, you get cursed for that. Like, it's just, there's a weird kind of, it's not a very Western, like, a curse idea.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because he stopped after that. Like, he really just started living for himself and not paying attention to, you know, to other people. Because, like, it's clear that he and Gina really like each other, but he's shunning her advances and wants to live alone, which I immediately fell in love with this movie with the scene of himself being by himself on the beach. Just that little moment of him moving the table closer to him so he can put his feet on it better. Just these, like, Miyazaki is just so great at these tiny little moments like that. And just the more sort of quiet pacing of it all, particularly compared with, more Western, current Western animation. And I know it's less current now, but the first thing that came to my mind as a counterpoint was that Lego Batman animated movie that physically hurt me to watch. I think it was a fun movie, but it's just like, it was so, like, there was so much going on.
Oh, totally.
It was it hurt. But, and so just that more quiet thing, although initially I guess this was made for, this was actually going to be a short that his idea was like, oh, even super tired businessmen on international flights can enjoy this. And it kind of became something else.
Yeah. You know, Miyazaki is kind of a master of that, of those little kind of character beat moments, or just little moments that, like, flesh out the story like 1,000,000% more than, you know, any kind of expository dialogue.
Yeah, which I also like in reading about this, someone referred to it as haptic visuality, which sounds very cyberpunky, but it's basically the idea that, like if you draw fabric a certain way, get a sense of how soft it is.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's very good at that too. Like, it really, really is good at creating a sense of place for these characters to exist in.
Well, like Totoro, which, you know, we're not talking about obviously, but like there's the early scenes where they're cleaning.
We are not talking about Totoro.
But when they're cleaning at the house that they just moved into, and like the sense of space and the sense of like being a little kid in an empty house is so like tactile that it's like, mm-hmm. you've now rooted me in this entire narrative, even though there's no narrative yet. It's just kids in a house.
Yeah.
That, you know, he does a lot. The other thing with on that kind of, what'd you say? Haptic visuality is, so when he's talking to Gina that first time, when he's upstairs kind of being lonely and realizing mm-hmm. that they have feelings for each other, do you think he's got a spiral-shaped dick like a regular pig?
You know, for once, it never crossed my mind.
Okay.
Do pigs have...
Yeah, they got spiral-shaped dicks.
I know they have
dicks.
Spiral stuff on their tail. But
yeah, their dicks are spirals too. Yeah.
So it's a little bit like... So it's advertising on the back. It's like...
Yes.
You know.
Okay. Advertising on the back and party in the front.
No. Yeah.
I Googled... That joke is in my notes. And I Googled spiral pig dick. And if you do that, it says... that the spiral will come out and the pig will ejaculate, and then instructions on how to clean that off of cloth.
Huh. Well, I I don't want to think about why. I'm sure there's very legitimate reasons that you would need that information.
You got other ways to stick cloth to something, to another bit of cloth? What are you going to do? Invent some kind of way to shove thread through two pieces? No, you're going to jerk off your potbelly pig and stick those pieces together.
I'm showing my ignorance clearly. Sorry. I will do better next time.
Porco Rosso style. So here's something that you didn't get to know about this movie. The next big action beats is that the air pirates are attacking like a big like cruise ship. The voice of the boat in the cruise ship is Mom from Futurama.
Oh, no kidding.
And she's in a lot of, I totally forgot about this, but she's in Tress a lot McNeil. Of Ghibli movies.
Oh, and nice.
What did we decide we're pronouncing it?
Ghibli.
Oh, did I say it right? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I was doubting myself. she's in a lot of them, but I totally forgot about that. And then I heard it, and I'm like, oh, that's Mom's Friendly Robots. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's in like a bunch of these. So you missed out on that little.
Yeah, because I watched the subtitle version. But I do think that the other ones that I've seen that have been dubbed, I do think that generally like Disney with these does a good job of combining like actual voice talent with big name people. That's a huge complaint I have nowadays, that all these cartoons are just full of just stars.
Well,
I think generally they're not
with some exceptions. It's not always true, but you know, I think voice acting is a lot different than just regular acting.
No, I agree with you. It just Ghibli at times has fallen prey to that. So
oh yeah,
like they had the Fanning sisters, I think, are in Totoro.
Mm.
But they have, not that they hire like huge stars, but they have kind of I don't think they're the ones in charge of it. The Western voices.
Yeah. Cause but, I don't count this, again to my Billy Crudup, thing. Cause I think does a voice in Mononoke. But since that's sort of an already existing thing that he just sort of went on top of, yeah.
You know who does a voice in this though? You know who plays the American in this movie?
Cary Elwes.
Yeah, Cary Elwes, which is very weird casting. Like, the stereotypical Southern American is Englishman Cary Elwes.
Is big time British man.
Brad Garrett apparently is a voice in this as well.
Oh, cool. Does he say the N-word?
He's Mama Autoboss.
Oh, yeah. So he's one of the, he must be like the main pirate.
Yeah, but why is it Mama?
Hmm. Because that, I think that's their names. That's the
guys that kind of look like Bluto or
yeah.
They don't look like Bluto. They look like some 70s. I don't remember what it is.
They're Bluto-ish. They kind of look like Cid from Final Fantasy II.
Oh wow, good call.
Clicking
on their name to try to figure out who Brad Garrett was reminds me of my favorite joke in this movie. And so while they're fighting, the pirates are attacking the cruise ship. We hear over the radio, Porco's listening, or Marco is listening to the announcement, like, oh, and now we're getting announcement that the fighters are going after them. And we're saying, and they're giving like word for word verbatim. And they're like, ow, ack, get off of me. We're coming for you. Ack. It's just such a dumb joke. Like, I fucking love that they put that in.
I like the whole argument that the pirates have with Aldous lamps, where they're just like, oh, our engine's not working. We got to hang back.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah
no,
yeah.
You're going first. And they're just like flashing lights at each other to communicate this. I thought that was.
Yeah.
That was very adorable.
No, that's there's really fun pirate beats of, especially the cowardice and the pirates like, yeah, my engine doesn't work. It's like, oh yeah, my engine doesn't work too, boss.
Well, just like how, because I mean, it's all in good fun, it seems like, because they go to drink at Gina's too, and she's very sweet to them. It's like, hey guys, let's be cool in here. And they're like, oh sorry, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very fun. Like, I always had a theory when I was little that that like G.I. Joe and Cobra were just like different frats, because it seemed like every episode they would just shoot each other, and then G.I. Joe would take the other one's clothes. Because they would dress up like Cobra a lot.
I mean,
and I was like, this just seems like a harmless prank.
Hot.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a little Miss Scarlet, Miss Cobra action, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't know who Miss Cobra is. Are you talking about the Baroness?
Baroness, is that her name? The fact that I came up with Scarlet was actually pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, but it doesn't cover for your just embarrassing incompetence about the
Cobra. You know what the worst part is? I shopped at Hot Topic a lot.
Hey, you know what will fix this? Digging a deeper hole.
It's the only way I know how to abuse people is just keep digging deeper and deeper until eventually, like, ooh, this echo is amusing when I screamed in the hole to try to communicate with Alex.
So did I. It's fine.
So he loses his fight to Cary Elwes.
Yeah, Cary Elwes kind of sneaks up on him.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was a whole bad shape. It's thing. Not like he won a fair fight.
Yeah.
And he's going to go to Milan to get his plane fixed. And Gina is very upset. She's like, you're going to get arrested. You're wanted by the fascists in Milan, and you can't do it. And why can't I meet a nice French lady, John? I'm like 60% pig. What's wrong with me?
I don't know. Well, you're in America. Not the Adriatic Sea, for one.
Okay.
We're less big on that around these parts.
All right, give me two.
You are not animated.
Yeah, I am pretty stoic. All right, what's three?
Yeah. It's no longer the 1920s.
Okay, and then four is probably personality, and five looks. because those always come up.
Oh, looks are way, way lower. Way down there.
Yeah, I got confused as to whether that's an insult or a compliment at this point, because we're going down the list. So does that mean the lower down, it's the less relevant it is? Because I was going to make fun of my looks too, and I was like, no, wait, I'm not, actually probably looks probably should have been number one, I guess.
It's not worth mentioning. It's like when a house is on fire, you know, the whole house is burning down and you're like, well, I think that wallpaper might be extra flammable.
Oh, I see. It
doesn't matter at this point. Yeah.
You're saying like, because I smell like ripe shit, if I fall in some goose poop, you know, you're not going to complain about the goose poop.
Right. Yeah. 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 It's, there's a lot of other factors going against you before we even get to all this.
He goes to Milan to get his thing fixed, and he ends up having to meet with Mr. Poe because he needs these seeds that will cure him. And then so he has to fight this other guy that can stretch his arms out, and his arms will regrow. That's the thing. They're called Namekians. Oh, I'm on the wrong wiki. Sorry. So he goes to the Piccolo Spa.
I was going to try to get up and shut the door, but I wasn't sure if that was like open and close the door that made it sound like me leaving, but I didn't think it would pick it up. So never mind. But was that Dragon Ball Z? Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm supposed to be picking up there?
Yes. Do you not know Dragon Ball Z?
I was confused until you said Namekians.
Okay.
I only know some Dragon Ball Z.
He goes to the Piccolo Spa to meet his friend that can help rebuild this plane. They fight Gohan, then Goku. Okay, we're going to stop doing that. His American granddaughter is there, and she's a whiz. She's good at fixing stuff.
Fio.
Yeah, which I think is uncle in Spanish.
Oh, that's Tio.
Is that not what her name is?
Her name is Fio. It's female uncle.
I wish there was a better word for that. Female uncle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Funkle. I think Funkle.
No,
yeah.
No, I don't. No, Funkle sounds terrible.
Really? Because, I mean, that definitely sounds like, nope. You know what, Alex? For once, I'm not going to be so excited.
Let's just close the doors on that windowless van.
Because imagine how bad you think the end of that sentence was. I assure you it was three times worse.
I don't doubt it.
He basically like, hey, you're too young and you're a woman and you can't help me. And she's like, look, buddy, I'm fucking great at this stuff. This is my hero's journey. Basically, I'll fix the shit. If I can't fix it, it's free. It's on the house. It's like, all right, fine. You know what I'm going to do? As a completely normal man, I'm going to go into a theater full of children in a big trench coat and a concealing hat and watch cartoons, because that's not at all creepy and there's nothing weird going on.
It's a big Travis Bickle move. I love it.
It's, I mean, thankfully, you know, it's a Miyazaki movie. You know, that's not happening. But boy, that is all the iconography there is very wrong.
I think that says more about you than the movie.
Going into a fucking theater. No, that is not me on this one. That is. He meets up with his old buddy, his old war buddy that I don't remember his name, in the theater. And he's like, dude, Secret Service or whatever are coming after you. They were real mad because you abandoned the army. Which I don't really get that, because he's like a war hero also, so I don't really get
how he's... but there's also all kinds of other stuff, like about like pornography and treason and all these other, like the list of things they were accusing him of were pretty.
Was there
pretty
pornography? Hilarious. Oh, I didn't.
In the subversion, pornography gets mentioned.
Oh, I don't think that was in the dubbed one.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess Disney left that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was, I thought, well, that was very
I don't
funny.
Think Disney has anything to do with it.
Oh, I thought they owned Ghibli.
No, it's on HBO Max.
Oh, I guess that's true. Well, whatever. So yeah, they weren't ready for American audiences to think about a pig.
Yeah, what's weird is, you know, it's odd. I thought Disney had something to do with it as well. I wonder if there's, No, because it's on HBO Max. There's no way it can be Disney,
The rights issues of Hollywood is weird.
Oh, you know what it might be? I think maybe Disney used to have the distribution rights. Like when we were young. I think the 90s stuff was through Disney.
But
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
But yeah, so the secret police are going to be after him, and that's no good. And I very much enjoy the whole constructing the plane sequence. Not only just because you have I think Fio's a very fun character. Definitely positive and whatever, without being a really grating figure. And just when basically Piccolo calls in his whole family and it's all just the women, like we mentioned.
Oh, I love the three kind of Italian grandmas helping out. Yeah.
And the Piccolo is all very nice to them. And of course, but he's also just like, why are women building my plane? Mm. And what is it? He says, we're not baking a cake here. You know, we're trying to build a plane, but it's again, Miyazaki kind of in Mononoke when he's, all the women are doing stuff. Miyazaki's got, that's a string throughout his movies. I think, he spent a lot of time at home with his mom and she was very, very influential figure on his life.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, about getting stuff done. Apparently he was also a very sickly child and couldn't go work with his brothers and stuff like that. Because this is a very personal movie for him because he's always loved planes. And I believe his father had worked in aviation.
Miyazaki has a plane obsession. But it shows up in a vast amount of his movies.
Yeah.
Howl's Moving Castle is like a pan to, anyway. There's also the Flying Fortress, Flying Castle, or whatever. Yeah. He's big into flying and castles.
Mm-hmm. But I always like it as movies when a bunch of people come together and do stuff. It's always, because it's very it's like we talk about these little tiny moments of stuff that these are all individual characters doing things. It's not just person A, person B. He manages to give these tiny throwaway characters basically lives of their own through the animation.
He's really good at that kind of energy building. It's very Japanese kind of concept of the there's this great one of the documentaries about him has a scene where he goes into the animation studio and makes ramen for all of his animators.
Oh wow!
And but they interview the animators . Thankfully, Miyazaki-san, or I probably don't say san, I don't, but a complimentary honorific thrown at the end is they'll keep us big and strong and now we can go back and work extra hard. Yeah. And it's this very band together and get the thing done Japanese style of thinking. But it's in this very cute way in here, but in this very moderately disturbing but also kind of fun way of the ramen story.
I can't imagine working for that guy. It's kind of like Stanley Kubrick, where I'm I feel like his level of perfection is got to be way up there, and he's just this wild workaholic. There's a great moment because he worked with I want to say that he worked with Hideki Anno, who did Evangelion, because there's some clip of them meeting and like Miyazaki has this super burn on him about I always told you needed to work on this, but the way you did your show, I guess you didn't have to, which was, I think it maybe was had something to do with lip sync or something like that, because so much stuff in Evangelion is from a distance and behind coffee mugs and whatever.
Yeah. Also anime is not focused on lip sync as much as American.
Yeah. I'm inventing what he said. I don't really remember, but I do I do also like that, as I mentioned already, that he's so down on himself. And then there have been a billion memes about this already, but Junji Ito, who is a manga artist who makes really disturbing horror manga. Oh, is that
the
guy with
the holes one?
Yeah. The Emigara Fault, if I'm saying that right. Yeah. I love his work, and it's always kind of dark and strange, but he's just the happiest guy. And it's
oh, is that true?
So funny. Awesome. Any interview I've seen with him, he's always just this pretty nonchalant. I'm it's pretty cool. And they'll show him oh, here's a bunch of weird creatures people online have made. He's oh, I love this one. This one's great. And it's very just positive and happy. Whereas Miyazaki just makes these beautiful films. He's I am nothing but emptiness.
Well, his last movie is I was retired, but then my grandson, and I wanted to show my grandson what I could do before I died. And this is a thing to say, I'm about to die. Watch this movie. Like, yeah. It's just like this just dirge.
Yeah. I would like to read a biography or something, a story of like his kids being like, this is me trying to get out from under his shadow. And this is how that's impossible.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big shadow. That's, I don't know how you,
mm-hmm.
that's, yeah.
That's Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah. No, I mean, he made the choice of going, ah, fuck it. I'll be a cover act. So like, right, one of his kids just goes, yeah, I got to make cartoons too. Cool.
Guess what? I'm going to trace over your old work.
Yeah. Like that thing with like, the Jungle Book and the fox from Robin Hood, where it's the exact same animation, just like reskinned. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally just the same thing.
No, this movie's called Cowo-moco. And it's like a cow that flies, but it's after World War II. So yeah, it's completely different.
I also like when back to him being a pig, when Miyazaki was asked about why he turned him into a pig, he goes, because pigs are easier to draw.
That's awesome. Yeah, God bless. There's an interesting flashback where Gina remembers her first flight, like, you know, taking off in this weird biplane.
Right.
Is that Marco with her?
That is Marco.
That's supposed to be young Marco. It's a beautifully animated sequence. Like, it's as much as I want to make just dumb dick jokes. God, it is fucking gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
that's another thing you have to like really remember is this is cell fucking animation and it just looks so goddamn good.
Yeah, like anytime, like with all the seaplane stuff, anytime there's like giant water, like splashing happening, like when a little bit further on when the plane is like going down that canal, and just like I was very blown away by that for whatever reason. Like that just looked, I couldn't help but think about the amount of time and effort that went into that to see, to have that flow look so natural.
Yeah, it's really incredible what can be done with. It's such a stupid thing, but like now that we've basically gone beyond cell animation, it's like, I mean, it's not dead, but it's basically dead. And objectively, CGI looks more complex, you know, like there's so much more you can do with it,
right. But
there's something like human about cell. Like there's just, there's like a depth to it. There's a something there that even like, if you watch young kids, like, you know, whatever, like fucking 10-year-olds, there's a different reaction to like the cell stuff. It just has like it just hits different. And it's just kind of amazing to watch like the height of the practice that's about to be dead. And this is 92. So
yeah, 10, I mean,
15
even,
years after this, yeah.
Even stuff that is, you know, like a combination of the two, or, you know, like it's drawn, but it's kind of animated through the computer,
like
or whatever.
Simpsons, I still think
has a different feel. And some of that's just sort of the style of stuff. Like if you look at talking about The Simpsons, like going back to the Brad Bird era, where the characters are a lot more sort of pliable and cartoonish in that way. And I think Miyazaki does a great job of like having some of that when necessary, like some of the more, for lack of a better word, cartoonish kind of reactions to stuff can fit in nicely, but it's still kind of, you know, a lot of it's more quote unquote realistic.
Yeah.
But it's not afraid to get a little silly with some, you know, kind of hyper expressions. And like, I love whenever Porco Rosso laughs. Always, it's just a whole body chuckle in the way his head moves. I love it.
There is I don't know how to say this without sounding like Alex. So like, pretend a real person is saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I adored the runner about her having a big butt. It is such a cute joke, like her defending the size of her butt and then him calling it back later. Like, it is a fun character moment. And I don't know how to say this because I've brought myself in the corner of being the impish guy that says dumb shit. But like, it really is adorable.
We could just say pervert. That's fine. But no, I think the way
perverted. It's sometimes it's near criminal.
Well, the way it's done is fine because he's like, if you sit in here, you're going to jam against this, because she makes this seat for herself in the front of the plane, which he objects to. He doesn't want her coming along. And she's like, no, I figured out I can fit in here. And he's like, you're going to smash this stuff. And she's like, well, actually, now that you mention it, my butt is actually a little bit bigger than it looks. And then when he calls it back later, it doesn't seem, even though like we've discussed him being sort of a womanizer or whatever, that it doesn't seem like he's being gross about it. It seems like he's like, hey, I'm connecting with you about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, makes a couple of, and then like later when he does it just to himself, it's just out of anger. But I like that. In fact, I've read one review of the movie that was kind of down on their relationship. He thought that was a low point. The reviewer thought it was a low point of the movie, which I disagree, because I never felt like she was pining for him in any real way. It was like, when she's like, "Hey, what if I kissed you?" is really just like, "Oh, this is how fairy tales work. I could do this, you know, we could trade off." It wasn't this like, "Oh, but you're this, you know, handsome older man and I love you." I didn't have this like, it was more of like a Lost in Translation thing, I guess.
I've seen this movie once. That's the way that I read it. It was, she had like a bit of a, she kind of not idolized, but like, she's like, this is a cool guy. Like, I know his story, like he's great, but like, I didn't see any kind of crush or lust like that. I love their relationship. I think it's perfect. I love that they don't do the fucking, I'm so glad they didn't kiss. Like it's so, I think it's a pure, interesting relationship. You know, how many times do you get to see an older, it's like Lost in Translation. How many times do you get to see an older man or middle-aged man befriend a young girl and it doesn't turn into some fucking, it doesn't turn into, what's the other Bill Murray one? Wildflowers? What the hell is the name of that?
Broken Flowers.
Broken Flowers. Yeah. It doesn't turn into one of those.
That will tie into my recommendation this week, actually. So that's cool.
I recommend seeing a 16-year-old stand nude in the hallway for dysfunctional
get yourself a young girlfriend. No. Oh, and then the other thing, and not to jump too far ahead here, is the thing at the end where she's put up as a prize. But I took that more as like, she's that confident in their ability to win that she's like, yeah, fine.
I read it that way, but this is one of those, I think we can read it that way because we're like cishet men.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you can just say cool dudes.
I think it's a little easier for us, but like, you know.
Right. Do you like how harmless his womanizing is though? Like,
yeah.
They give you an up, but like when he's, that one woman is like, ooh, like, hey, come over here and tell us some more stories. He's like, I'll tell you when we're alone. You know, it's gross, but it's not like, you know, slavering, bum, you know.
That could have turned into like just, that's his entire character. And it's just, you know, a little, you know, little suisson.
Mm-hmm.
There's this delightful sequence after they escape Milan, which there's a great, good animation, but whatever, we don't need to talk about it, where the pirates find his hideout and Tio just knocks it out of the park of just like, she's great. And everybody's like, wow, this great. She's great. Everybody just kind of falls in love with her. And that resolves the whole fucking thing of just, everybody's I want to listen to her. She's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. Cause they're like, oh, who's this pretty dame? And then it ends up being, they end up being very impressed with her, but it's also like, they're very sweet about it, all regardless of what it is. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel as like sexually dangerous as much as it's just dangerous, I guess. Yeah. The pirates in this movie, as we talked about before, are just they're nice people. They're decent human beings. Yeah. They just happen to be pirates.
There's a great line here too, where when she agrees to the bet of the American will pay the bill, she goes, mm-hmm. Oh no. And Porco gets real worried about her for a second. And he's like, what's wrong? He's like, I just realized I should have padded those bills. He would have paid so much more.
Yeah.
It's such a delightful, it's a good joke.
That moment is very great where she like, cause they leave, they agree to the thing to like, the, cause Curtis shows up and he's like, you know, I'll challenge you to this race or whatever. And, you know, this dog fight in the air and, he falls in love with Fio immediately and it's like, oh, but if I win, I get her and whatever. But when they leave, like she kind of like collapses because she's so like, oh my God, I just stood up to a bunch of pirates.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm just going to go swimming and starts to take off her clothes. And Porco Rosso is like very embarrassed and turns around. And then when you see her run into the water, she's wearing like an undershirt and like boxer shorts.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, it's not like, she was going to be wearing something that risque in the 1920s, but still, I just like that. Humility is not the right word. What's the, I don't know. I like how embarrassed Porco Rosso got.
Yeah, no, it's nice. And that scene could have played out very differently and would have worked in the movie, but to a lesser extent. I enjoyed that. What else do we really have to talk about? She wins all the pirates over and like basically sets up like the big end set piece, which is going to be a sky fight between Cary Elwes and Michael Keaton, a.k.a. Yeah, the Vulture.
You, Well, you get that moment. We haven't talked about the his story about how he became the pig. They're sleeping on the beach, and or she's sleeping on the beach, and he's going through his ammo, trying to get ready for this thing. And when she looks up, he's a human being. And she's like, wait, what? And then he sees he's immediately a pig again. And he begins to tell the whole story about ostensibly what happened to him and how he was flying with Gina's husband, among other people. And there was a fire, a dogfight. And that scene is beautiful. When you just see all the planes like just swooping around each other and stuff like that. And then he basically dies. And I'm still not entirely clear what's happening here. But I very much enjoyed the scene where he like rises above the clouds. And then like all the other planes start doing that too. And they keep going up. And there's just a mess of planes in the sky. Just tons and tons of planes in the sky. But he's not up there yet. And then he's a pig. Basically.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've read eighth grade biology books, John. I know how death works.
Yeah.
Is you die in a plane accident and come back as a pig man. I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I dropped out in sixth.
No, it is a gorgeous piece of animation. There's this kind of celestial river that it almost looks like the Milky Way in the sky. But then you see that it's just these waves and waves of planes that were shot down. Like,
yeah.
It's really is a gorgeous bit of like the annoying thing and the great thing simultaneously about Miyazaki movies is that they actually are as good as they're spoken about.
Right.
Where,
yeah.
We're like, that is fucking gorgeous. And it's like, it's kind of annoying because at least for me, I'm a contrarian type where I want to find something wrong with the things that people cherish. But it's like, no, there's nothing. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, no, that is actually really fucking good.
Well, and then I love so he kind of tells that story. That's where she gets the idea to kiss him just to break it. Cause that's like, it's a fairy tale, but he's like, nah, let's not do that. Shut up. He says it much nicer than that. But then, yeah, then it leads into this big, the big battle between him and Curtis. And what I love is that this is an event. All the pirates have dressed up.
Yeah.
They're wearing suits. Like they're tense up. It's like there's festivities going on. But I just like how like gentlemanly the whole thing is. And that really tickled me.
Yeah. And it comes down to, it's another nice thing too, that it's not Porco dominates because he's just so good. It ends up being two guys slugging it out in the ocean.
Yeah, their guns both jam at one point, and so they start throwing things at each other, and they land and they just start doing a fist fight.
Yeah.
And it's very silly, but like it's still like as it keeps going on, like as Curtis starts bringing up how Gina really loves him, and so like there is this sort of emotional arc to it. But it's this cartoonish punch up, and I love it. It's great.
I mean, this is much more modern terminology than would be applicable to 92, but this would be the story of somebody getting over toxic masculinity in another way to tell the story. But no, right. He doesn't. He's sitting there punching another man. That is the way he knows how to interact with the universe is make world better. Like just, and I also love that his opponent, the American, he's not a bad guy. He's literally right. Just like, yeah, I want to be the best. So I'm going to fight this guy. Cause he's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of an ass, but so is Porco. Like it's,
yeah.
It's no one's, for being a cartoon, no one's cartoonish in that way. But yeah. And then Gina ends up showing up and it turns out there's the fascist Air Force is going to come and get him. So he tosses Fio on Gina's plane and then he and Curtis kind of like watch everyone go. It's like, well, let's go distract them. And you don't see Porco Rosso's face, but then Curtis is like, wait a minute, let me see your face again. And you just see them running off into planes. And then I love this epilogue.
Yeah.
It's me too. It's just wonderful. You hear it's Fio in voiceover talking about how like I never saw Porco Rosso again, but you know, we all like lived our lives. But I went to Gina's every summer and like the pirates are still hanging out there. And even though everyone is dressed more modern, you know, they're still, you can absolutely pick out the pirates.
I know, but they age them up, which is, I loved seeing the beardy leader guy look a little thinner, a little older. Oh, so good.
I got oddly reminiscent of when they made that Muppet movie a few years ago. And Fozzie Bear had gray eyebrows and it was just this weird, like, sense of my own death.
Yeah.
But like in this, not in a negative way, you know what I mean? It was more just this like quiet acceptance of like, yep, that's what happens. And then there's been this runner of Gina apparently waiting in her garden for Porco Rosso. And I love it because Fio is like, well, as far as Gina, you know, that's their business. You know, we're not going to go into that. And you kind of see this empty garden. So it's a bit ambiguous about what happened, but I just like that. It's kind of like, we're just going to let these people be people. Like, you've seen what you need to see of them. Don't worry about this now. Like, you saw the story I was trying to tell you.
Well, here's the dub versus sub question in this movie. Is in the dub, Tio, and by Tio I mean Fio, it says, and how did Gina's bet turn out? Because Gina says, I bet that the man that walks into my garden, you know, is going to be the one I marry. And she's obviously right. Referencing Porco Rosso. The next line is, well, that's our secret.
That is exactly the line. That's it. Yeah, that was me just paraphrasing.
Because the hour right there makes me think that Fio and Gina may have gotten together.
I don't.
No, I'm not saying sure. Like, that's, I mean, like, the no, reading, I, but I'm I, saying is the fact that it says that's our secret, it means there's a secret between her and Gina.
Yeah.
There's an intimation of intimacy there that I'm not necessarily saying they got, you know, like, what I mean to say is there's more to the story than she is letting on than I see her once a year.
See, I didn't take it that way. But I think I can see where you're coming from with that. I just took it more as that these are other human beings, and I don't need to go into all that. That's not the story I'm telling.
All right. Porco Rosso, John, what'd you think?
No, it's great. It's like all Miyazaki stuff that I've seen. It tends to be very magical and wonderful. I don't know if how kids will like this compared to, you know, the other stuff, because it is less magical and fanciful than his other ones. But I do think it's a good movie.
Right there with you. I don't care about what kids think. I just, like, I want everybody to watch this. It is a delight. I'm annoyed at myself that I didn't watch it when I was younger, because I was scared off by the kind of setting and pig lead character.
Yeah. For me, it was just availability. When I was really getting into Miyazaki stuff, it was just, I didn't have access to so much stuff.
Well, I went through like a huge anime phase in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I lived outside of Manhattan. That's a spot in New York City. Yeah. And we would drive in there, and there was a place called, well, there's Kim's Video, which is world famous. You may have heard of it. Like,
I believe I have, actually. Yeah.
It's like a big deal where you could find the most obscure stuff that could be obscure. But there's also, I think it was called Midtown Comics, but I'm not 100% sure. It was right outside the PATH station, like Grand Central, and just the biggest train station in the world. It was like a block away. There was this comic book store, and you could get really hard to find Japanese anime. And when, as opposed to all that other anime, but we would go there, and they had every Miyazaki film that was out at the time, which, you know, wasn't all that much, but, and that was the one that he's never bothered with, even though it was right there. It was 100% available. And I just, anyway, what I'm saying is, watch the shit out of this movie. Like, it's, I'm sure you can find it torrented. I'm 100% sure you can probably find potato quality on YouTube. Go watch it. Be amazed.
It's wonderful. I don't want to get into the whole thing about, like, they don't make movies like this anymore, because they probably do, but they're fewer and far between.
Yeah.
So definitely check this one out.
Also, we're starting our Miyazaki thing, so we're probably going to be gushing about the next few.
Yeah, there's going to be just a whole bunch.
Normally we move into recommendations, which we should do anyway, because, you know, even though we like the movie, we can recommend other stuff.
And yeah.
I have a recommendation that I am shocked by.
Mm.
I'm like four episodes in, and I don't even want to say it out loud, but...
Oh, I bet I know what it is.
Hawkeye.
Oh, nice. Oh,
was that okay. What you were thinking?
No, and I should have. I just realized when you said four episodes in that they're no okay, because I saw that the stupid Boba Fett show started. I figured it was going to be that.
I have not watched that yet, but I don't like Jeremy Renner. I don't really like that character that much.
Nope.
There's nothing about the show. I signed up for Disney Plus again because the Boba Fett show was going to start, and I'm like, whatever, I'll just fucking, I like Star Wars, so I'll just watch this. Tamara Morrison's a compelling actor. But I realized I signed up a day early. Boba Fett hadn't been out yet. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch this stupid fucking Hawkeye thing. And there is humor and heart, and the lead lady in it that I don't know her name is like
super good and compelling, and I really like watching her. I'm like, it's like seeing someone that's going to be in the rest of my life, entertainment wise. I'm like, oh, she's great. Yeah, she's just going to be here.
I believe, and I could be wrong with this, but I think it's going off of the Matt Faction Hawkeye run, which is absolutely wonderful. And I kind of like, for a while when I was getting back into reading comics, I was starting to get into that, and that's great. And so if they're keeping with that, yeah, it should be a whole lot of fun. But
yeah, I'm not very surprised. And Tony Dalton, who plays Lalo in Better Call Saul. Lalo?
Oh, yeah, Lalo. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like the super charismatic guy with the mustache. He's one of the leads in this, or like secondary leads. And he's
good. I love that guy.
He's so great. Like he's doing the same, but just he knows exactly how to turn into the skid. Like it is.
Yep.
Oh, he's so good. But yeah, really surprised because I literally just watched it because I realized that I signed up for Disney Plus a day early. And yeah, that lead lady, I don't know her name. Do you know what I'm talking about? Whoever the lead in Hawkeye is? Oh, look. I don't know. She's like a known person. Oh, Hailee Steinfeld.
Hailee Steinfeld. Yes. She is a known person.
At least in this, very impressive to me. I find her really compelling. There's one part where she's like wearing her aunt's clothing. And like, mm-hmm. I had like this, like, man, I wish I could dress like her. Like she had like, she wore the shit out of this outfit. It was like, boy, you know exactly how to, like, you know, the angles, you know how to act. Like this is like the complete package.
She's very good in True Grit. That might be the only thing I've seen her in.
That's the little girl from True Grit.
Yeah. And if you've seen Bumblebee, I know she's in that as well, but I have not seen Bumblebee.
I have not seen Bumblebee, but I have seen True Grit and I like that little girl. I didn't realize that was her. So that is my if you're bored recommendation, I guess, which I do a lot of those, but like, man, I was really surprised that I enjoyed, like, I had like 0 out of 10 chance of, I thought it was going to be at best annoying and I'll just stop watching it after 2 episodes, but I was like, fuck, I'm hooked. Like I stayed up late last night to watch another episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So John, what do you recommend?
My recommendation is also a show. I basically like spent my holiday just binge watching this. It's on Hulu, The Only Murders in the Building. And I'm very late to the party on this, but that's the series with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez.
Oh, whoa. That's an interesting cast.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's about like these different New Yorkers that live in this apartment building and a murder happens in there. And they're all true crime podcast fans. So they start making their own podcast and things. While trying to solve it, you know, trying to solve the case. And Steve Martin, Martin Short are wonderful. I always enjoy them. But Selena Gomez is good too. And this is sort of what we were talking about earlier. It's like, it's a show where like they're friends. At no point in the show is there any kind of like romantic tension between this very young girl and these very old men.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's pretty cool. But if I may coin a phrase for this show, it is delightful.
Wait, what's the Latin word for that? I don't know that word.
Delight. It was late Latin because it came out in the 90s. Yes. Yeah. You're familiar with the song. That's where it came from. Okay.
But, sorry if that was the exact joke you were going for.
Nope. But it's a lot of fun. I'm not fully done with it yet, but I'm enjoying the twists and turns and it is very funny. Just a terrific cast through and through and very well done. Can't recommend it enough. I will likely watch it again as soon as I'm done watching it.
What's the name of it again?
Only Murders in the Building.
That sounds good. If ever I have Hulu again, I'm going to watch that because I am a big Martin Short advocate that I think he should still be everywhere. Like he's a compelling man that I like watching.
Yeah, he has this thing where like his corniness is also very like heartfelt. You know what I mean? Like there's a realness to his corniness that I very much enjoy. And also as a side thing, just because it is on Hulu, I was very excited to see that Hulu is also running The Dungeon Master, also known as Rage War, The Adventures of Excalibrate, which is a terrible, wonderful B movie with Richard Maul, a bull from Night Court, as a sort of an evil wizard that takes over this guy's computer and the guy gets sucked in the computer.
I know that movie not well, but I watched that. There might be an MST3K on it or Riff Tracks.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's like a, I don't know if it's Full Moon Entertainment, but Charles Band is involved.
Yeah,
But it's like, it's a bunch of vignettes, each directed by a different person. It's very silly, but man, it's a, if you want some corny 80s stuff, that's your jam.
Yes. So John, for next episode, grepisode, I'll say, because it's going to be great. We're going to watch Ponyo. It's another Studio Ghibli Hayao Miyazaki movie. Yeah. In which there's like a little like fish girl and she's great. And Ponyo's great. My only concern for this is that I might have to break kayfabe with the audience and just have 2 hours of me going, this is the cutest thing ever. This is cute. I love this. It's so cute. Squee, squee.
Yeah. No, I will remain the steadfast, cool, seen it all, hard-edged guy that I've always been.
Yeah. I mean, I feel nothing like both of our characterizations were very wrong right there.
No, they're both very extremely correct. I'm cool. I'm wearing a trench coat right now and smoking things.
Yeah, that's it. So, hey, guys, listen, here's the important part. Rate, review, subscribe on your favorite podcatcher. Subscribe to the Patreon if you want, patreon.com/AlexBolen, AlexBolen. At JawsPod on Twitter. What's that?
We're doing a fun thing on the Patreon right now, doing a bunch of different series on bizarro vanity projects. Got a couple of those. Got one already done. Another one's coming out soon, but a couple more in the future. But more episodes there. Bonus episodes, little short stuff.
Yes. Other stuff. According to the Patreon thing, there's 37 bonus episodes, and I think 6 of those is mostly me and John and sometimes other people playing improv games. So there's like a bunch of like just fully just John and Alex Hate Stuff episodes you've never heard. So, I mean, if you like the show, I mean, it's right there for you.
There's more of it there.
Yeah. Yeah. The auteur weirdo, one guy, me movies thing. I'm not a big salesman, but I just got to tell you, we've done 2 so far. They've both been pretty fucking bananas. It's worthwhile. Yeah.
And I will say the next one we're going to do is going to hurt really, really bad.
Oh, good.
I'm really looking forward to inflicting the pain on you and then talking about it.
I made you watch Big Money Hustlers, so I feel like I deserve
it. Oh, no, this is so far beyond.
Yeah. All right, so do all those things I just said in a very fast pace, or do one of them. Do something. Oh, here's the other thing. If you're still listening. If you see us post an episode, or if you like an episode, post, if you're on Twitter or Facebook, just copy that link and say, listen to my friends talk, or listen to these people talk. Just throw a retweet. Just do it. It's real easy.